I sat down and I started to prepare. And I felt like I have a message for you today. But I felt like if there's something I want you to leave with today, it's just one thing. No, I'm not going to have a bunch of words. I'm going to read some scripture for you today, share some stories. It's just different than what you're used to. For some of you, like, concise points, this is going to drive you nuts. But what can you get over it? I want you to leave today. So today I'm not going to talk about how you can be a better person or a better parent or a better Christian. I'm not going to read Proverbs 31 and think that like that passage has sometimes put an impossible burden of expectations on what the perfect woman of God should be. Now this morning I want to remind all of us how amazing the one we partner with is. And I want to let his word wash over. And if you want to close your eyes, that makes some people uncomfortable, so don't. But if you want to just, I just want you to hear them. In fact, you know, Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about husbands and wives. It also talks about how Jesus shows his love for his church. And it's interesting, it says that he, by the washing of the word, and God actually just pours out his word upon us sometimes and just washes us with his word and speaks his word over us. Today, I want to begin what I'm going to talk about. Then I'm going to tell you a few stories. I want to talk about, I want to read from directly from the scripture about this partner you have, that I have. Because we need to hear this. It began all the way back. The fact that you should have not been kind of afraid when you looked at your notes this morning. It says that my scripture references are Genesis 3:3 to Revelation 20:17. That's almost the entire Bible. Okay? I didn't know what to put down. What do I put down for this whole? But listen, this whole thing started back, way back. From the very moment that mankind fell in Genesis 3:3, God chose to be faithful. As mankind chose the serpent, God promised his son. And we read in Exodus 34:6-7. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, the God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgressions, and sin. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Psalms 40:11. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. Psalms 57:10. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens. In fact, I love Psalms 108:4 because it actually says, your steadfast love is above the heavens and your faithfulness to the clouds. Psalms 86:15. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding.
17:2 that takes that passage from Psalm 86 and says, not only is he about me, it's not just one, but it's forever. Folks, I'm still in the Old Testament. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 through 24. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. And that night, and that week, they're new every morning. I wore God's last nerve down. They're new every morning. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. Isaiah 25:1. O Lord, you are my God, I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formidable, faithful and sure. Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore I have continued my faithfulness to you. Romans 3:3, what if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness qualify the faithfulness of God? It's almost as if Paul answered this. It's called a rhetorical question. He didn't really need to answer. But he did. He answered it in 2 Timothy 2:13. He says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. We cannot deny himself. What's that telling us? God is faithful. He cannot be anything but faithful because he is faithful. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure. 2 Corinthians 1:18-20. As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaim among you, it was not yes and no, but in him it's always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. Every promise in Jesus is yes. So when you and I pray according to his promises, when we ask according to his promises, it's yes. 5:23-24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body become blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. If you know your scriptures, you know where we're at. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. And did you not pray that one over your family, over your you know, Lord, I pray, 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast. We'll hear more about that passage next week. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. How? Why hold fast? For he who promised is faithful. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Will God? So when I blow it, when I screw up, I go in and I say, God, forgive me. I'll do better. He goes, no. I'm the faithful one. Revelations. You should know now. Revelations 19:11. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, the white horse, and the one sitting on it is called faithful and true. Revelations 22:17 tells us that this one who is faithful and true offers the living waters. Revelation 22:2 tells us that the tree of life, which was lost in Genesis 3:3, is made available again. Now, I gotta read Jesus' words. Matthew 28:20. because sometimes in all our striving to walk in the Spirit, we can be deaf to the needs of the flesh. To set our minds on the things of the Spirit, to be the followers that Jesus wants us to be, to hold fast, sometimes we forget that He who promised is faithful. We can get tied up into this legalistic thing where we're gonna make it happen. And we're gonna do it ourselves. God, my everything is in me. I'm never gonna sin again. Yes, I don't want to emphasize. Don't forget that you called, that you promised is faithful. That's a partnership, and my friends, you are not carrying God. It's like the story of everyone's about it. Walking across the bridge. I don't think it's a true story. It's probably more of a parable. Just watch some elephants and mice. I'll talk to these two men. They're walking across the bridge. They get to the other side of the mouse, looks at them, and says, "Wow, we struck that bridge, didn't we?" You're not shaking anything. For your partner, and my moments of failure, our inconsistencies, our shortcomings, our areas of lacking do not diminish God's faithfulness. In fact, Paul dared to write this in Romans chapter 5, and it's a scary thing to write, but he wrote it. Romans chapter 5, verse 20. But where sin increased, grace abound all the more. Verse 8, he says this crazy statement. But God shows his love for us in this, while we were still enemies. While we were still choosing everything but Him, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That doesn't mean God wants us to sin, or that we should keep on sinning. That makes no sense for a relationship you want to see thrive. And Paul wrote about that in Romans 6. What it is telling us is that as hard as we try, we are not going to get it perfect. That, and He has already made provision for it. Now, I've heard this before, that there's a, between us and God, there's a chasm, like the Grand Canyon. And some people have talked about, you know, how you could, you know, you ran as hard as you could, and you jumped, you wouldn't make it, and you put an Olympic gold medalist on the jumper, and they ran, they jumped, or a pole vaulter, they jumped. We wouldn't make it, but this is how we can make it. Okay, I get that. But sometimes we make, you sort of see the illustration of the cross spanning the chasm and us walking around. But let's be honest, sometimes we take the cross and makes it most of the way. And then we have to jump the cross. God is sins, which I don't want to say. I'm not saying this is the way I should live, and I'm not trying to live that way, but when I do make mistakes once every couple of years, He's not waiting for me to get it right again. He's not waiting for you to lead up to your end of the partnership. But sometimes we think He is, and so then we think He's not so faithful. End of sentence. Whether we are or we aren't, and when we understand that God, when we understand
just. But he was blessed with incredible talents and gifts, a mind for numbers and people. And so he was eventually offered a very lucrative job and contract. And he was offered this contract and he could move to a metropolitan place like Missoula. But he could move to work, but he had made a lot of money. And so he accepted the offer. He moved to this location and then began to make tons of money with this location, with this job. He got wealth. He got everything that he thought was great. And you know what? It made him happy. He was really happy. And he would get with the other employees and associates, and he would laugh. He would laugh about his strict traditionalist family, right? And he would make fun of their religion and make fun of their rules, and he would do all that. And he was really enjoying life for a long period of time. And then he started to settle in, and he started to realize that something was not quite what he thought it would be. And he started to realize that everything in his life was based on the wealth that he had. It was based on keeping up certain appearances. In fact, he realized that as strict and rigid as his religious parents were, that this new group was just as strict and religious about their religious stuff. And he moved to this place, and to fit in, he had to change his lifestyle. He had to change his life. He had some drastic changes about it. And the more he did this, the more ostracized himself from the family. He never went back, never called them, never was a part of their lives. And he lived in this state. He started to think for a minute, did I just change one strict religion for another? One day he heard at the local coffee shop. Whatever coffee shop you want to go to. They were sitting there talking, and he overheard some of the other associates speaking about a preacher that was coming. He was pretty well known. All these guys were kind of walking in, and you know all the things about him. But interesting is this preacher didn't come to town to do a crusade or a service. He actually was coming to town and a meal. And so this kind of got this young man's curiosity built up. And so at this moment, a lot of people started gathering. Zacchaeus, everything I said about Zacchaeus, I kind of contextualized, trying to make it a little more modern. Okay. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Zacchaeus was the worst of the worst people in Jewish culture. And then Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come on down. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. That's the religious people. He said, he has gone to be with the guest of a man who is a sinner. Let me tell you, if anybody grumbles because you went to be the guest of a man or a woman who is a sinner because you wanted to show the love of Jesus, you're walking in Jesus' shoes. Let them say what they want to say. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone, anything I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation. Wait a minute. Zacchaeus didn't do those things, prayer. He didn't come forward and repeat a prayer after somebody. This is incorrect scripture. This is what we know about our tradition sometimes. Because Jesus said this. Today salvation has come to this house, since he was also son of Abraham, but the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Jesus went to Zacchaeus' home. Zacchaeus had betrayed not only his own upbringing, but Jesus as well. He had spit upon the law that Jesus created and came to fulfill. Nothing about Zacchaeus when Jesus saw him up in that tree warranted such treatment, but God is faithful. But that faithfulness, took that faithfulness of God shown to one who did not deserve it, reaped a generosity that changed the heart of a very unfaithful man. You see, sometimes we try so hard to be faithful, we just really need to grasp onto the fact that God is faithful. But when God's love pours out into our hearts, and let me just tell you, you may not like this, but Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world," and he said, "We're the light of the world." When that love comes out of this church, sometimes people just say, "I'll just get my money out of here." But I will tell you, people, every person in this church today, and every person's planet is looking for something that we can get nowhere else but from God who is faithful. But we have to grasp that He is faithful. Maybe you can give us a little bit of that. She lived a rough life, to say the least. She was unusually pretty. And her place where she lived. Her city, beauty was profitable, but not for the beautiful, but for the ones who control it. Years of abuse and perversion took their toll on this young lady, and she wasn't so young anymore. She never left the life because it's all she knew. So she grew older, she stayed in the business, she purchased her own establishment, and she helped other people who were pretty. Clientele was very even the religious would show up in the darkness of night, so she would scoff at the idea that any God could offer anything, any hope or any promise. In her mind, God was just as much a user as anyone else on this planet. Life may not be good, but it was what it was, so she lived in it. Religious people that didn't come to her place would condemn her, speak ill of her. The preachers in the town would utilize her as a great illustration of what not to be. One thing they never did was bond to her. We don't. Well, one day she started hearing about God. Different than all these gods. The God that acted on behalf of his people. The God that was changing the world and breaking down literal walls that people could only help in holding to other people captive. That wasn't true. And then one night, she was strange. A different type of strange, walked into her establishment. They were obviously lost and did not know where they were walking into. But she could tell there was something different on their faces, and so in curiosity, she approached them. Maybe these men would know something about this God. Let's find out. Joshua. Chapter 2. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. dwell in kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. You remember that story? Laban and Rahab, right? In the Old Testament. A town called Jericho. Rahab had seen God's faithfulness to his people, and she wanted. To say that Rahab was not like the candidate would be a massive understatement. Yes, in Scripture, she owned the bar where she had prostitution. If you want to read it, that's what it says. In fact, her great statement in Scripture always follows her name and her occupation. But let me ask you a question. Did God need Rahab to save the spies? Like, was God in heaven sitting there going, oh, I sure hope Rahab. I hope she shows up for this, because if she doesn't, then this whole thing, these spies are doomed and right. Did God need Rahab to save the spies, or possibly was this an act of a faithful God to a woman who did not deserve it? The woman that he knew more than her occupation, he knew her heart. And so this faithful God gave her an opportunity. Joshua chapter 6 and the rest of her story. The Israelites came in to conquer Jericho. But her and her family and everybody else that could, everybody else that could take the house. Like, come on, if someone said, here's a basket, you can have everything free that goes in this basket, how many of you know what your basket would look like, right? And then they start with something, there's a bucket filled in with 5 bucks. Putting wheelbarrows in there, right? Everybody in that house was saved. And not only that, but see, we read about Rahab, and yes, in the New Testament, the Bible features a prostitute multiple times. Hebrews 11:31. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute. Would you, like, could you, would that Rahab be like, could you just, like, erase the prostitute? Could you, like, take all the women? Okay. No, I think Rahab, what did you just tell them what I used to be? You just shout it to the rooftop. Shout from the cups of God saves prostitutes. That God uses prostitutes. That God saves transgender. That God loves lesbians and homosexuals. Oh, is that too close? Better not be. Whoever you despise, God loves. God saves. You know, you might be somebody's people. Rahab the prostitute justified by words when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. Matthew 1:5, finally she's not called a prostitute. Solomon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, Obed, the father of Jesse. And they're like, well, what did it? What's so great about that scripture? Go one more generation down, you'll find out that Rahab is a great-great-grandmother of King David. Now go a little further down that line. Rahab is a descendant in the lineage of Jesus Christ, the King. So much for a prostitute, huh? See, this is the thing. Someone once saw you and only saw a dirty, nasty, no good, nothing, whatever. But Jesus didn't see that. Jesus saw someone he died for. Jesus saw someone that he created, that he wanted to redeem. It didn't matter what anybody else said about you. It doesn't matter today what you don't think you're good enough. God is faithful. And you're not getting away from him. You're can run from the church. You can burn up the scripture. You can go to Satan God.
Yes, there's actually a Satan God.
You can do all those things. And God is faithful. He's going to chase you to the ends of the earth. He's not going to let go of you. He's not letting go of your kids. He's not letting go of your grandkids, your employers, your neighbors, no one. Because God is faithful. It's beyond us. That's, folks, what I tell you, hold fast. He is holding fast to you. When I tell you walk in the Spirit, it's because the Spirit is guiding you. God is faithful. We can't sing enough worship songs. We begin to express it. God wants to change your destiny. His faithfulness wants to rain down on you. And I know that there are desperate people. Your story. My dad has read the story that I've never read it before. It's not what you score my hand. Is this really me? And she told it to Tamara first, and she did good after, I think, her second or third year. She did. What's your story? Not based on your performance, your perfection, your past, or even your present, but on who God is. What might His faithfulness be able to do in and through you? The answer is one that I have. To borrow the words given to another well known poem to be, we even talked about in Psalm 1:7, just what you should do. But God is faithful. Someone you can hear about. Just one of you. The rest of you. You'll need this man's message at another time. You'll need to hear about it. set our hearts on the faithfulness of God and transform us like Zacchaeus, like Rahab, like countless thousands, hundreds, and millions of others as you're transforming our lives. If you're here today and you're watching online, this faithful God, he did, he died, he gave his son on the cross so that you might know him. Thank you.